We're starting in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? I think it was pretty obvious where he said he was going. My Father's house, many mansions. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How in the world could we even know the way? And then comes this statement in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What a very bold and also very exclusive statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In the King James Version, they have included the word the way, the life, the truth. And that word the, of course, is the definite article. Some English Bibles at times don't show the word the when the definite article is in the Greek text. So in English, the definite article, the word the, can be used to show emphasis. Someone could say, that was the party of the year. It wasn't just a party, it was the party of the year. In Greek, the definite article can be used for emphasis to single out or set apart as the right or the proper or the correct as opposed to any or all other possible options. And here in this very bold and exclusive statement, Jesus Christ said that he himself was the right way, as opposed to all other ways, and that he was the truth and the life. And then he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Talk about an exclusive statement, right? He wasn't very wishy-washy, was he, when he said that? I am the way, not a good way, the right and only way to the Father by me. Now, as I mentioned, this is a very exclusive statement, and to some it might sound kind of egotistical. I am the right and only way. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. It was far from being egotistical, and in fact, it was very loving. Because if Jesus Christ is the right and only way to the Father, which he is, then how loving to spell it out very clearly so we would know. Back up to John chapter 6, if you would. John chapter 6. Verse 47 of John 6, Jesus Christ was speaking, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believes on me has everlasting life. In a lot of the English Bibles, the words that are translated faith and believing, they come from the same Greek word group. And sometimes it gets confusing. You see the word faith, you see the word believing. It would be much easier to stay consistent, and so we like to do that, believe and believing. So with that in mind, we go to Acts chapter 3. I am the right and only way to the Father. What an exclusive statement. In Acts chapter 3, there was a man at the gate temple, beautiful, that had been born lame. He was over 40 years old. They brought him there every day. And Peter healed him. He had never walked before. He jumped up. He was leaping, jumping and leaping and praising God. And the people were like, wow, what just happened? Because everybody knew him. I mean, if you were at that place every day for the last 40 years, everybody would know you. And part of what Peter said about this wonderful miracle of deliverance in verse 16, Acts 3:16, and his name, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Both words faith in this verse have the definite article. You don't see it in the first one, and his name through faith. They just didn't put it there. But it's in the Greek text. Both of those words faith have the definite article. This faith or believing or acceptance is the right and proper way of believing, as opposed to any and all other beliefs. So we'd understand this as, and his name, we're talking about Jesus Christ's name, right? And his name, through the right way of believing pertaining to his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith, or that which has been given to be the right way of believing, which is by or through him, Jesus Christ, has given him, this man that was healed, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And it's interesting to note that healing from God is available through the name of Jesus Christ. So we read in John's Gospel, Jesus Christ saying, I am the way, the right way, as opposed to all other ways. And here in Acts 3, Peter made it very clear that it was through the right way of believing pertaining to his name, as opposed to all other ways of believing, is what made this man whole. If you look at Acts chapter 4, not very far away, after all this great miracle and Peter preaching, then they got arrested. And now Peter is talking to the religious leaders, if you will. And we'll just look at verse 12, very significant. Neither, verse 12, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name to receive salvation. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the way, as opposed to all other ways. And no one comes to the Father but by him. And so regarding salvation, being saved, we go to Romans chapter 10, and we're familiar with chapter 10, verse 9, but let's look at chapter 10, verse 8, Romans 10, 8, before we get to 9, because it's very, very helpful in understanding Romans 10, 9. So Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. We're in Romans 10, 8. The word of faith which we preach. We have the definite article in front of the word the, and the definite article in front of the word faith. Wow. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of the faith. The word of the right way of believing, which we preach. Well, what is the word of the right way of believing, which we preach? The next verse tells us. Verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. how simple God made it. Not you're on your way to being saved. You might get there sometime. Hopefully you do enough good works to... No. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That is the right way of believing pertaining to Jesus Christ. You know, the first part of that is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning he's Lord. He's Lord of all people. And Lord is a title. I believe in the Spanish Bibles, it's the word Señor. You know, when you're being respectful in Spanish, it's Señor. Jesus Christ is the Señor of all señors. But he's Lord of all people. Ephesians 1 tells us that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers, and gave him to be the head of the church, put all things under his feet. Anyone else included in that wonderful thing? No, it was just the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians, it says, God has given him a name that is above every name that ever was or ever will be, and that at the name of Jesus, everybody's knee will bow and every tongue will confess him Lord. It says in Colossians that Jesus Christ should have preeminence over everybody. He's Lord. And that's why he could say, I am the way, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And so with that understanding of verse 9, that's the right way of believing, look at verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone has to hear about Jesus Christ. And by the way, most critical Greek texts have the word Christ instead of the word God. King James has God. But this verse would be, so then, the right way of believing. We got the definite article there again. So then, the right way of believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word pertaining to Christ. You have to hear it, and then we have to decide. It's not automatic. Because what did that verse say in Romans 10:9? If you confess with your mouth, it's up to you. Ball's in your court. God did everything in planning for salvation and redemption. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, carried it all out. And now, what do you want to do about it? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And again, verse 9 showed us how we come to the Father. There's only one way. It's by the right way of believing pertaining to Jesus Christ and fulfilling those two things. Confess with your mouth. Confess means to say, accept, acknowledge, agree that he's Lord. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Those two things, boom, you're saved. You're born again. And at that moment, you receive all the benefits of being saved and born again. One of those, let's look at it in Romans chapter 3. Back up a little bit to Romans chapter 3. One of the great benefits of being saved and born again. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3:21. Helpful if I tell you the verse, isn't it? But now, not when we finally have our lives where we're so perfect before God. No, now, right now. Right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And look at this verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. There's a verse where you've got, you know, it's the same Greek word family, but you've got it translated believe and then also faith. By the faith of Jesus Christ is better understood as by believing pertaining to Jesus Christ. We receive the righteousness of God, not by the works of the law, but by believing pertaining to Jesus Christ. And this righteousness, it says, is unto all and upon all them that do what?
Believe.
Believe. Oh my goodness, there is no difference. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. Whoever decides to believe gets saved, born again. And one of the great benefits is we now have the righteousness of God, which means that in God's eyes, you are righteous. And sometimes, you know, when you first hear that, you go, who, me? Yes, you. And then sometimes after you've been around a long time, you ask the same question again. Who, me? Yes. Yes. Unto, remember, we'll read it in a minute, but John 3:16 said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would have everlasting life. It's open to anyone, and God is so gracious. Righteousness unto and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Okay, but believe what? Everybody believes something. You know, someone could believe that Jesus Christ really existed. Yes, there was somebody back 2,000 years ago named Jesus. Some of the historians wrote about him. Okay, you could believe that. Some people could believe that Jesus was a great teacher. Somebody could believe that, yeah, I believe Jesus did some miracles. I think I heard that. But we saw in Romans 10:9 the right way of believing as opposed to all other ways of believing. And that was to confess, acknowledge that he's Lord and that God raised him from the dead. That is the right way of believing. And it is by the right way of believing that we get salvation along with all the benefits that come with being saved. 1 John chapter 5. Salvation and all the benefits that come with it, including eternal life, the gift of Holy Spirit, being righteous before God, and so many other wonderful realities. It all comes from the right way of believing. And so many preach that you get right before God, you get saved, you make it, by doing enough good works. You have to do this, and on the other side it's don't. And you know what that is really when you look at it? It's just a vicious circle. Because you're never going to feel like you're good enough. You know you screw up. That's not how we get salvation and righteousness and eternal life and God's gift of Holy Spirit. It's by the right, God said it in his word, the right way of believing. And when we do that, God said, you shall be saved. And speaking of eternal life, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In the King James, you don't see the definite article, but it's there in the Greek. He that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. And what life would we be talking about? Eternal life, as opposed to any other all kinds of lives. He that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. We're going to go to the Gospel of John now, chapter 3. I mentioned this verse before, but let's read it. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The salvation that we have, God's only begotten Son, this whole plan of redemption and salvation that God put in motion after Adam and Eve sinned and screwed up, God's motivation was love. It says in verse 16, God so loved the world. That's not talking about the trees and the bees and the whales and the fishes. they're all wonderful, but God so loved human beings, mankind. Don't ask me why. Because many times we ain't so pretty. But God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in or believes regarding him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on or believes regarding him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed regarding the name of the only begotten Son of God. And down to verse 36. He that believes regarding the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath is referring to the judgment time. There will be a time when there's going to be judgment. There will be. And Jesus Christ said that the Father has put him in charge of doing the judgment at that time when it comes. But for those who are born again, God's word is clear. We are not going to go through the judgment. Romans 8 says there's no more condemnation for those who are born again. No more guilty verdict. Romans chapter 5 talks about how we, as born again ones, have been saved from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians says we've been delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians also says we do not have an appointment with wrath. Isn't that nice? Why? Because we've obtained eternal life. There is therefore now no more guilty verdict for you and I. We have received eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. We're going to close in 1 Timothy 2. You know, we talk about eternal life. We get to live forever. And according to God's word, according to the Bible, eternal life is a gift. It's a gift. How could you earn it? How could you be so good and never do anything wrong that God would go, whoo, I think this person should live forever. Sorry about you. Eternal life is a gift. And we have that eternal life. It came at a very high price. You know, we get eternal life by just confessing Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead. God says, okay, you're saved. You have eternal life. You have the gift of Holy Spirit. You will not be in the judgments. You will have the righteousness of God in you. You have access to God Almighty. You've been reconciled. All these things here. But it came at a really high price. And when you take the time to read the gospel records, beginning with the arrest all the way up into the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we get a little glimpse of the heavy price that Jesus Christ paid for us so that we could live forever. One of the last things Jesus Christ said when he was hanging, right before he died, wasn't the last thing, but one of the last things he said was, "It is finished." What a Savior. He did it all for us. So how thankful we are for him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, talking about God who will have, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, what is God's will? Well, it's right here. Who will have all men, all women, everyone to be saved. That is the will of God, that every person on the planet would get saved. God so loved the world. Well, how do they get saved? We read it. The right way of believing. Romans 10, 9. That's how. And then it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's great to be born again, to get saved, but then God would also have us to understand the truth of His Word. Why? So we can walk around and quote verses and look how smart I am and I read the Bible 50 times. God wants us to know the truth about who we are right now as born-again ones, because Christ hasn't come back yet. We haven't been gathered. We're still in this world. But God would want us to know the great realities of this new birth that we have, that we have His gift of Holy Spirit, that we can operate that gift, that we are righteous before Him, that we've been sanctified, set apart, that we're holy, that we have received forgiveness of all of our sins, and a lot more, including healing from God is available. By Jesus Christ's stripes, we were healed. So God would want for everybody to not only get saved, to have eternal life, but also to know the truth, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men or mankind. And who is that mediator? The man Christ Jesus. So there's one God, then there's one mediator, and that mediator is in between God and mankind. And that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then it says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The reason there's only one mediator between God and mankind is because Jesus Christ is the way, the one and only way to the Father. And no one comes to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to remember those two very important things that He accomplished for us when we share communion together. The two things He wanted us to remember in that memorial that He set up was, one, that through His death, dying, you know, you read about the precious blood of Christ. It's not talking about His literal blood. It's talking figuratively, meaning His life was poured out. He died so we could have remission and forgiveness of sins, and His body was badly beaten to pay for our healing. By His stripes we were healed. He wanted us to remember it, and He made a memorial so that we could take advantage of remembering those two very important things. And so next week we're going to look at the verses that pertain to that and then share bread and grape juice together. Those of you on the hookup, you're more than welcome to join us. Have some bread or cracker or something around so that when we partake of the bread and grape juice, then you can join us. Father, thank You for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the one and only way to You. Thank You for all that He accomplished for us by giving Himself a ransom for all. We're so grateful for Your love for people that You didn't want us to just live and die and that's it, but that, Father, You made eternal life available through believing pertaining to Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for everyone here in this room. I pray, Father, that You would bless them. Whatever it is that they need, You are a God that does bring to pass help, protection, and miracles. I pray, Father, for those on the phone hookup, that You would bless them as well, and anyone that might hear this recording later. Thank You for the privilege of sharing Your word with Your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.